Five, four, three, two, one. All right, everybody, here we go. Episode one. We're going to see what we got. Maybe we got nothing, but we're going to find out. So here we go. Quick checklist of things that sort of led to this. Number one being, well, I frequently listen to radio shows, podcasts, TV shows, the like. Really gotten into it in probably about the last year. And what led to that was personal development. That and a lot of very uneducated opinions with no facts. So I wanted to make myself smarter. I wanted to have myself go through some sort of transformation. And you know what I found out? You're never done transforming. So here we go. List of some of those influences. Joe Rogan, Howard Stern, Dave and Chuck, Drew and Mike. Those guys, by and far, led the radio world forever. Left it very mysteriously. So we'll leave that one there. If you guys are ever listening, Maz! So there's that. One of the other things I found out this past year is a lot of people lack that self-confidence, and it's very obscure. It's very obscure because they realize they want something. They say, well, I just don't know. And that doesn't really work. And then they start fumbling over themselves. They start going, you're pausing. Why are you pausing? You make yourself want to do these things, and you do them. Otherwise, you never will. Part of this last year I spent discovering, well, the first step is the hardest step. Quitting something, starting something, continuing something. It is always more difficult to get moving than it is to keep moving. Working out, studying, playing a video game, starting a job, just starting a job search. Maybe you don't even have a job. But all those things just constantly lead into... because most people don't even know what they want. And in a very strange way, you only find what you want by trying things, and you only try things by deciding what you want. So it's a cycle. It is cyclical, and you got to discover that for yourself, because a lot of times you don't know. You don't even know who you are. So, you know, in this journey that we all call, life, we want to be exploring it to the best of our ability. So right now, I want to say I'm pretty good for my own self. I know this isn't very comical. This is just my little synopsis of, like, why I'm here, what I discovered, why I want to start this whole thing, and where I want to kick it off at. So one of the things that I want to just put out there was, you can be in the darkest hole and still find things funny. It doesn't matter even if it's the funniest thing in the world or just somebody walking by and falling, stubbing their toe. Doesn't matter. Sometimes those kind of things are just the simplest, funniest thing that will turn your day around. And maybe that'll make you go do that thing you were thinking about. You want to go running. You're at work and you watch some fat guy fall over and just boom, face plant. And you're laughing and you're laughing and you're laughing, but psychologically in your head, back of the membrane, going, oh man, I'm not too much smaller than that guy. Uh-oh. Maybe I better go get some more coordination back. You know, part of my little journey in this past year has been a basic psych eval. Not of just myself, not of just others, but, I mean, looking at historically, you have these people like Bruce Lee, Arnold Schwarzenegger, very athletic, very psychoanalytical. Not only were they working on their body, but they were working on their mind at the same time, which is astonishing because I've just been working at my head for the last year or two, and that has been very hard by itself. And you separate that and you go, okay, well, I'm going to work on my body and my mind and flush those two things together. And that's a very, very hard thing. And part of my thing is, and what I want to do with my podcast here is discuss and discover what makes people laugh, what makes people tick. Because a lot of people will laugh at just the most insane things. They'll laugh at, Michael Jackson rape jokes. They'll laugh at, Cosby diddling jokes. But you can't do those on TV anymore. You can't do those kind of things anywhere anymore. You'll lose your contracts. You lose your sponsors. You lose. So the thing is, though, it's that dark comedy, that dark humor. You make a joke and somebody just gets offended. Okay, you didn't like it. I'll give it to you. You cannot like something. That's a personal preference. We have that right as a human being, not even as a citizen of any country, but as a human being, you have that right to like or to not like something. So if you want to say, hey, I don't like your comedy or I don't like your art, feel free. But don't come at me with, well, that offended me. Okay, well, because then we can backtrack that and go, okay, well, why does that offend you? Well, because, my little brother knew a priest. Well, okay, I'll give that one to you. But how does that offend you? You weren't the one with the priest. No, you were the one that probably dropped him off a couple times to go to the fucking catechism. You were the one that was there picking him up when he had a disheveled look on his face. Okay, so again, you don't like what I'm saying. It upsets you. It hurts you. It doesn't offend you. Offending is almost like these made-up pronouns that we've suddenly decided we're going to use. Well, that doesn't make them law. Bruce Lee was always talking about fluidity, movement, and nature. Well, guess what? Your mind has to say the same way. If you're going to set in these rigid terms, things you can and cannot say, it's a very slippery slope. We have the First Amendment in this country for a reason. It doesn't mean somebody has to listen. All it means is that you're allowed to say it. And I think that's where people get confused. That's where they say, oh, well, you're offending. Well, congrats. Maybe I had something to say. It made you think. The thought process hurt you. Not even what I said did, but the thought process of you having to say, I have to form my own opinion to counter that fact. Damn, that's an idea. That's a major idea, right? So that's sort of what I want to get into here. I'm gonna break it down episodically, and try to find out and think, what are things that are funny? What are things that offend, so to speak? Might have some top 10 lists, might not. Might have some great ideas, might have some horrible ideas. I might stop doing this after the third episode. Who knows? The fun part about having a freedom to express oneself is having the freedom to not express oneself. So, for instance, politically, oh, there's so much great comedic material that is worn out right now. And no, you can't say that it is the greatest material because it is so beaten down, but there is some good stuff out there still. The only flip side to that is, well, it only bashes one side. They're both making hilarious mistakes. They're both coming out and saying these grandiose statements, almost as if they're in third grade and they want to be elected to the student council still. I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to tax everybody at 70%. Okay. Well, both of those things cause major problems, but we're not going to discuss that. I am strictly looking at what is funny and what isn't. And if it's funny, I'm going to talk about it. Do I think that Michael Jackson going into the back room and diddling McCulkin is funny? No. But is it funny to make a joke about Michael Jackson in general? Oh, yeah, just like Michael Jackson. Yeah. He was a very weird individual. And now, if some Jackson family member were to somehow, some way stumble upon this episode one day, God forbid it actually did become some kind of famous episode or whatever. Your father may have been a very nice man. Husband, uncle, I guess he was never married. You get the point. May have been a good family member. To the press and everybody around him because of the quirky shit he started doing back in, oh, I don't know, the mid-80s. It's pretty fucking funny. I mean, you can talk about that. You can talk about, back alley abortions being funny. You can talk about anal being funny, because it is most of the time. I mean, you can talk about just your coworker who walked in, they're sicker to death, it may be rude. They shit themselves and puked all over the carpet in the cubicle over, but guess what? That is funny as fuck. And that is something the whole company's going to remember until you're all gone or they start a new company. That is the straightest fact you can ever get. But guess what? It'll be funny for everybody except for that one fucking person. And that will be very true. That'll be very true with a lot of the things in this. It'll be funny to everybody except for one fucking person. And guess what that is? It's the butt of the joke. The butt of the joke right there. So that's my little intro for this one. We're going to delve into some deeper topics. Got a couple things lined up I think people are going to like. So sit back, listen tight, and get ready to have an adventure because that's what I'm aiming for here. All right. So, like I said, we got some interesting topics, a couple ideas. We're going to see if I can flush it out, and we're going to see if maybe I don't have anything there. All right. So, something that I brought up very early on in that last segment is that starting, stopping, basically making the vowel noises every time you get nervous. Well, let me tell you go to the bar, you're talking to that sexy little thing down at the end. Well, what is she doing when you make those kind of noises, man? She is running for the fucking hills. Now, again, what I'm gonna say, probably gonna offend you at some level or another. Do I give a shit? No, because offending is basically a made-up word at this point. So here we go. That starting, stopping, pausing. That supreme unconfidence that makes every woman just drier than the Sahara Desert. Man, you got to work on that. How are you going to work on it? What's your plan? All right. What does that plan require you to do? Well, guess what? You may just have to talk to more than one girl. That sexy little thing at the end of the bar? Well, man, you got no fucking chance with her. So don't try tonight. Go home, read a book, learn something. Okay, maybe now you can go talk to her. Bring up your book, bring up your movie that you just watched. Hey, what kind of life experience have you had? Bring up topics. Get really good at those topics. Talk to more than one girl. Right? Those kind of things. You don't want to just have that zeroed in eagle-eyed sniper rifle pointing at the one woman like you're a hunter in the Sahara or the Amazon. No, you don't want that. No, you want to have that pack of buffalo, the herd of zebra, right? You want to go out, there's that group of 10 girls, right? And you talk to one, you talk to another, you talk to the third and fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. You talk to all of them. Get to know each one. Hey, you know what? What are you into? What are you about? Don't walk up to the first one you see and go, I want to marry you. Because she will hit you in the fucking head with her book bag and kick you in the dick. And you know what? You probably deserve it at that rate. So here's the thing. They have these amazing things called dating apps now. These dating apps are selling yourself to women. And not in the physical, in the meta, but you understand what I'm saying. Make yourself marketable. That picture of you drunk on a fraternity night, passed out on a couch, probably not the number one decision to put out there. Now, yeah, you can say you standing on a mountain holding your flag or whatever can also come across a little pretentious. So just pick the one with you out bowling with your friends. Pick the one where you're not doing anything overtly annoying, such as at a political rally, or, oh, I took a fake photo, you standing on somebody else's body kind of thing, because you're not advertising yourself. You're advertising the moment. So you're advertising that moment pretty well, but here's the funny part. The very odd thing. You got to get out of your own head. You're nervous. That's why you're doing the ooh, ah, how do you get rid of nerves? You do something repetitively, right? Date above your level, date below your level, talk to girls all over your state, country, world, whatever. Practice makes perfect, right? So you want to get in there, you want to scope out that 10 and you're going to go after her and you're never going to get her because you don't even know how to talk to a 2, right? And this is something I discovered in that last year of self-discovery of what do I want and how do I want to get it? Well, okay, you want a girlfriend, you want a fuck buddy, whatever. You want an interest in the opposite sex, men, female, the combo situation that everybody seems to love nowadays. Whatever. Not judging. God forbid you get offended. Here's the thing. End of the day, turns into a numbers thing, right? Use the sales motif. Meet more people, make more sales. Because again, you're selling yourself. You're motivating these people in some way, shape, or form to then go for you. How are they going to go for you? You have to sell yourself, or they're not going to want you. Nobody wanted an iPhone until they were sold on it. We all just said, oh, well, that's just going to, it's going to crack and it's going to be horrible. And now what? Every fucking person out there has some kind of smart device that will basically orient your entire life if you want it to. Setting it up to do that, whole different story. Not going to go into it right now. Point being, here's the thing. Go on four dates with four different chicks in a week. Not because you're the Tommy Hilfiger guy throwing the football, you're Mr. All-Star getting all the women. No. It's because that's what technology has allowed you to do now. You can go on Tinder, talk to 15 different girls. Set up four different dates in a week, and guess what? By the time you get Friday, you only want one. They got no interest. You didn't sell yourself well enough. So rather than get yourself all wound up in a, oh no, woe is me. No. You got a date on Friday night. Maybe it's not with the girl you thought it would be with. Maybe it's with the one you thought it would be with. Doesn't matter. So you go out, you meet her, you find out what is she into, what is she like, why does she like that, how does she like it, if you know what I mean. And then you go on to the next girl, the next week. Maybe you're still talking to this other one. It's called a residual, right? It's a number in your phone, a contact, so to speak. And you keep talking to her, and you're talking to this new girl. And guess what? This new girl, you know, you got a couple more things in common with. Your ideals, your values line up a little bit better. And you stop talking to the first one, not maliciously, not out of any kind of spite or hate or anything else. But you're selling yourself, right? So then you're sitting there and you go, okay, now what? Now I've met this other girl, but she's still not that perfect 10 sitting down at the end of the bar. Okay. Well, you're speeding your process up now, right? So you met another girl. You're talking more. And guess what? Same thing repeats itself. A couple weeks in a row where you just sort of fall out of favor with the one girl and you continue on with others. But you're getting better at doing what? Communicating with what they want and how they want it. Right? You're selling yourself, you're giving a little bit, you're taking a little bit. What are they like? Okay, now I'm gonna shift a little something, you know. Maybe I don't say something as much. Maybe I have a small stutter and I suddenly don't, because guess what? I'm no longer that nervous getting myself into those kind of conversations. You can sit there at the bar all day and bullshit with your buddy. And a hot chick walks up, or even an ugly chick walks up, and you just go into turtle mode, as I like to call it. Get yourself out of turtle mode, man. Bust through that fucking wall. Not the one on the border. You know what they say about crazy Latinas. Ooh, boy. No. Just think about it. And you don't even have to think about it that long. It's a proven fact. The more you do something, the better at it you are. So, I mean, this unrealistic expectation of, oh, I'm going to go find the one. Okay, Ted, from How I Met Your Mother. Which they botched, by the way. There is no the one the first time right off the bat. That's impossible. You're only ever going to talk to one woman, and that's it. And you're only going to talk to her one time, and no, and that's the end of the... You're setting yourself up for complete and total destruction, not just failure. Failure would be, I tried to do something, it didn't work. Destruction, absolute insanity in your own head, is when you were so far in the hole that you can't climb out anymore. There is no construction equipment big enough to get you out of there. Well, I'm sitting here telling you, how do you got to get your tools built, man? You're going into battle with a pencil instead of a sword. And yes, there's a lot of innuendo in that statement. But guess what? You got to keep it moving, right? So that's not going to be helpful for anybody. In fact, how are you going to make yourself better? And I mean, that's everybody's end goal, right? It isn't just, oh, I want to meet a hot chick and bang her and be done. And all right, now I'm over with my life. And no. How do I become a better person, human, lover, right? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. That starting, pausing thing, how do you get over it? Well, what I just laid out, plus meet people, anybody. Walk up, have a conversation with a guy at the bar. You don't know that guy. You just know him as the Brit, right? He speaks basic fluent British. English, whatever. Yeah, I got it. The key is introducing yourself is an art. You have to learn how to do it. You can't just run into a wall and then say, I'm here. Congrats, you're not in the Cheers, okay? You're not in some fantasy world where that's an acceptable behavior, so probably not going to work. Ask people what they like, what they don't like, why they do or don't. One time I got a reporter friend of mine. Now, mind you, I had interest in this girl for years. Right, and then she goes, and we're at a party and we're talking, and we go off into a little corner, and no, nothing happened, but we're just talking, haven't talked for a couple of years. She's got a degree, she's got a real job in reporting, she's a journalist, and I just broke it down to her and I started asking her questions. I got her to open up, right? It's a basic interview skill, very basic, but a lot of people can't do it. Got her to tell me she had inverted nipples before she even mentioned what she is actually doing for her job. What does that say? Okay, that's what I thought. Here's the thing. Is that statement going to offend? Is it dumb? Fuck yeah, it's dumb. Makes no fucking sense. It happened. Doesn't need to make sense. But it's that thought process. Hey, how you doing? What's up? Haven't talked to you in forever. Right? Reintroducing yourself. Very important. How do you do it? I don't know. You already know Susie, right? Okay, well, Susie, how am I supposed to do have that conversation with her? I already know all of her favorite colors and all the other nonsense, and she likes macaroni. Okay, but why? Well, I don't know. Well, maybe her first cousin, who passed away when she was in second grade, always made her macaroni when she was a kid, and she loved it, and that's why she loves macaroni. Right? That personal connection, the thing that pulls on your heart. It gets you a little bit more interested, so you ask the next question, like, well, what other cousins, what other influences do you have in your life? Who's helped you out through the way? Right? So you start having the conversation. And it's an art form. It's a conversational art form. So find that interview thing on YouTube, find the Be More Confident videos, okay? And take little snippets out and just say, okay, well, how do I want to be more confident? Well, I want to be able to approach a woman. Well, how do I want to be able to approach a woman? I want to know what I'm already going to say in the response to that, whatever it is. Doesn't matter what the response is, I'm going to fire back with this because I've already predisposed that 90% of the time this is the answer. Right? So that for the first couple of minutes of that conversation, maybe it's very superficial, but guess what? 10, 15, 20 minutes, 3 hours later. Right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now you're sitting there going, oh, well, damn. Is it really that easy? Well, yeah. You want to go work out? How are you going to work out? You're not going to go lift 150 pounds of whatever. First try, first go. Never been to the gym before. You're gonna go do that. Yeah, okay. And I'm Harry Houdini. No, you're gonna warm up. You're gonna go, maybe hit the treadmill, maybe hit some stair lifters, whatever. Get blood flowing, then you're gonna go hit some couple, lightweight things, stretch maybe, not enough to, hurt yourself, but enough to get the muscle going, right? All right, I'm gonna go hit that And you still can't do it? Yeah, because you've never been to the gym, right? You got to get those reps in. It's all about the reps, man. All about the reps. Everything you do in your life. You want to be a great interviewer? And by interviewer, I don't mean the person asking the questions. I mean, you want to get a job? Right. Practice. How are you going to practice? You got to go. You got to do it. That's all it takes. Very simple. Now, that's a really quick synopsis. I want to jump into that at a later time and go over the exact thing because I think that a lot of people don't understand it and they don't get it, but it's very so helpful. So helpful. Once you break it down and analyze it and go, okay, it's this that leads to this that leads to this. Man, does it help? I'm getting married this year. Want to know how? Tell you later. All right. So that leads us into our next part, right? Our next little excursion, if you will. So part of reps, right? Part of knowing what to say, when to say it, how to say it. Well, this is where it gets more personal for me. This is where I want to sort of dissect and have that conversation, right? So right now, like I said in my little warm-up, offending people. Man, that offends me. How the hell do you make that statement? Especially if you're watching a comedian. Well, I'm a hardcore feminist. Now that's funny. You know, equality of opportunity does not equal equality of outcome, right? If I want to make money, but I'm not good at doing what I'm doing, that doesn't mean that the other person should get paid less than I do because I'm an ultra feminist or man or a patriarch. No. If I suck at what I do, I shouldn't get the job. The better person should get the job. That's not to say that, well, your whole company's white males, or it's all black females, or it's all half Chinese, half Siamese. Dirty knees, look at these. The point is, you're sitting there and you're going, man, what is he going on right now? Well, I'll tell you what. Any comedian that gets booed off stage because they hurt someone's feelings? Well, okay. Joe Coy, Asian American, does a very thick accent of, oh, his mother! His grandmother! It's funny. It's not wrong. If he were to go on the road and try to do the same act he did 10 years ago today, it wouldn't work out. It wouldn't. But here's why. Right? People don't have that funny sense to them anymore. Everybody's so serious. And as I recall, The Dark Knight. I love that movie. Why so serious? And no, that wasn't me trying an actual impersonation. That was just me making the statement before somebody jumps on it. So, yeah, I'm sitting here asking what offends people? Rude statements in an accent offends people. Making a statement that, well, a high percentage of the NBA players are black. That offends people. Backed by statistical fact. Can't fucking say it. Sort of weird. It's really weird, actually. Because you can't make a factual statement. That's like saying more of the NHL players are white. Again, factual statement. I didn't say it was right or wrong or anything. It's not right or wrong. There is no opinion on that. It just happens to be. But you can't say that on SportsCenter anymore. I mean, hell, you can't even go on Comedy Central and make a joke that may involve Muhammad because somebody's made-up fairy tale may not exist. Well, okay, whatever. It exists. Not going to get into that. The point is, same channel, right? Can make fun of Jesus all day long. Can make fun of George W. Bush, George Bush, Donald Trump. A lot of material there. Don't blame him. Can't touch on Obama. Dude had ears like Dumbo. Why did he need Air Force One? He could have just jumped off a cliff, right? Wrong. He has big ears, right? Factual statements. But it offends people. You can't say it, can't joke about it. Nothing wrong with it. It's sort of funny because you actually get to see what that line is with certain people. You know, you get have a couple drinks. Make a joke that's very crude, very rude. And you see that ultimate look of disgust and disdain fall upon their faces as if they're in medieval times watching somebody's head be chopped off. And you're sitting there going, well, no, I just made a joke about Bill Cosby. You know, he had an album and it said something along the lines of like on the cover it said good night beautiful or something like that. In the scope of today's realm, you know what he did. He's going to jail for it. So, yeah, he did it. Looking back, yeah, sort of fucking ironic, isn't it? Irony is comedy a lot of the time, but people don't want to admit that anymore. So, I mean, you sit there and you go, okay, well, if irony is comedy, but if people get offended by ironic, truthful things, well, then how are you supposed to laugh, right? Well, then you start getting into like Amy Schumer's realm, right? The playing up of, I'm the little horror character. Okay. Well, then people actually started calling her that. You can't get pissed because people are blatantly characterizing you after the version of yourself you characterize. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Kathy Griffin made a joke about holding up Trump's head, right? Yeah, you want to know why that wasn't done with Obama? I'll give you a brief little fucking hint. I don't know, the 1960s. It's called Flashbacks to Vietnam, quote unquote. Severe racism. And yeah, was it distasteful? The current sitting president, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, whatever. I'll give you distasteful. I'll give you, maybe you shouldn't have. But did I chuckle? Yeah. No, she needs to be deported or killed or whatever. No. Comedian making a joke. You have Key and Peele. Great. Great comedians, great writers, right? Philosophizing what they were going to be joking about, and they had the idea backed up. So you have the calm Obama, right? And then the stoic anger translator. Yes, and I use stoic very ironically. That's the point. And you have to sit back and just laugh because it is so funny, but it's so true. You're sitting there watching a man that what he's saying may have anger in it, but the emotion, the vowel using isn't there. The expression isn't there. Right? So then you have the other guy come in and act out all the things that you would actually think he's thinking because he's got to be so PC. And it's so funny. Why? Because it's truthful. It's ironic. It plays up his stereotype that he played himself into, right? But I'm sure there's somebody out there, probably lots, that got all butt hurt and offended because, God forbid, somebody made fun of Obama. It's like Cortez, right? The new senator, congresswoman. I honestly, God, don't have enough information, but all I see and read and listen to is statements that she's actually made, and they are funny. Boy, are they funny, and they just describe this cultural Marxism that is so epitomized in today's 30 to 40 something year olds that is so flipping hilarious. Nobody wants to touch it. So you have to ask yourself, how does that help comedy? Right? Like my podcast here, Comically Incorrect, right? Reason why I chose the name. It's comically incorrect to even make that statement anymore about a sitting congresswoman or senator or whatever. Honestly, don't care because she makes too many stupid statements. Comically incorrect to make the joke that, God forbid, you know what? Maybe she ain't that bright. And that's not to say that Trump makes very hilarious 4 in the morning tweets. Right? Oh, yeah. I'm going there. But guess what? I'm not hitting the one side. I'm hitting both here, right? That's a dual statement. Build the wall. Okay, can you back it up with facts and data and everything else? Yes. Okay, cool. End of conversation. We should tax everybody at 70%. Wait, that's been tried a couple times. Doesn't work. Well, how do you back it up? Well, facts and information. Again, boom. Now you can break down every political argument, left, right, whatever. Part of that little journey I went on this year is a little bit of self-discovery. I'm not so far right. I'm not so far left. Smoke pot. Fuck a dude. I don't give a shit. You ain't hurting me. I'm not hurting you. Okay? Very simple. Stay out of my back pocket. I'll stay out of yours. Understand what I'm saying? Already made a joke about Muhammad. Already made a joke about Jesus. Clearly, don't give a shit. All right, most people can't make those jokes. Why? Get butt hurt. It offends them. Who cares? I'm offended when some companies use shitty TP. Guess what? I don't go on Facebook badmouthing them because they are too piss poor to put better quality TP in their fucking places. I mean, God forbid I bitch and complain because a Mexican restaurant doesn't have the proper cleanup utilities. You know what I mean? I mean, jeez, it's like they're retarded or something. Oh shit, I just used a bad word. Oh no, the R word, right? Huh. No. No. Because the actual definition of retard is to be slow, right? Without power to retard. And I was just implying sarcastically, right? Simple breakdown. Implying sarcastically that they're slow. Now you got to remember, retard was an actual medical definition at one point. It was. It's like gay. That Wanda Sykes commercial used to drive me fucking nuts. Oh, don't use that word! And yes, I did just use an epithet. Shoot me. Gay. Hey man, somebody makes a gay joke and it's funny, I'm gonna laugh. It's part of it, right? You wanna sit there, you wanna laugh. There's not enough laughter going around right now. There's nobody else speaking up about it. You'll have little cells of people saying, "Man, I wish I could still laugh at. I wish I could still watch this TV show, but guess, you know, Tim Allen Lost TV show had it put on another network because of this kind of shit. And all it is poking a finger at the bear, saying, "Hey, man, this is funny." In the grand scheme of things, if I make a gay joke because, Tommy was doing Vinny in the butt behind the dumpster, and Vinny's pants split, and they walk in, and hey, you know what? I'm making a joke. Sorry. Also, guess what, though? That's part of it. It's part of comedy. Bad things happen to people because people do dumb shit. People do dumb shit all the time. You see people cutting across four lanes of traffic, going the wrong way on one-way street. Right? You see people driving down the wrong side of the expressway. That's what that is. I mean, sure, it isn't funny to the head-on collision people, but you know what? You see it for like 2 seconds when you're going the other way, and you're just like, "Oh, God, that's not me." You get a chuckle. You're going down the road. Maybe you're tailgating somebody, right? That's always a dumb thing to see. You're tailgating somebody, they're not going the speed limit. You're more important. Don't forget it. But they're not going to speed limit. Well, first off, fuck them because they should be. I am adamantly against those that do not actually use the laws to their capability. But then you get up to the traffic light and you're going to turn right and they're going straight. And they just sit there and flip you off and are doing all sorts of funny things. It's funny. You did something stupid. They're going to give you a stupid reaction. But people don't talk about that anymore. When they get into the office, what are they going to talk about? "Oh, Trump. You just had an amazingly hilarious experience. You flashed somebody one time with your brights, and they just had the worst morning because of it." That's funny as fuck. That should make you happy. Very happy, in fact. Didn't hurt you. But it's all part of it, right? So you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, "Well, what do I do now, Carlos?" "Well, I don't know, because my name's not Carlos. This is what I would do. I'd go back to using the word retard. I'd go back to using the word gay. But by their defined Queen's English terms, right? Man, that's a really gay thing to do. Because he's happy. Man, is that kid retarded? Because he's slow? Maybe you don't say those things. Fine. Go ahead. Don't say them. Chances are you will get punched in the face in today's climate. But nonetheless, whatever do you. But my biggest thing is, and the whole reason I even wanted to start this comically incorrect is because if it's funny, it ain't incorrect. And that's my word. All right. Have a good one. Good talking to you. Hopefully you can come back. If not, if I offended you, I think there's a safe space down at your local college. Have a good time.